Okay, I have a couple of people coming in Thursday to talk about different careers in the field. And Francisco was going to come in then, but there was something else going on at work, so he asked if it would be okay to come today. And I said, sure. So he's going to tell you a little bit about his job, which is in web development. And then the rest of the class, we're going to work on that database, getting the database done, because I told you we could do that in class, and I was out last Thursday, so we're going to work on that. Or if you happen to get it done, we can work on something else. Okay, so come on up. He graduated, what, we decided around 5.5 years ago?
Yeah, 5.5.
Okay. And so he's basically going to tell you what he does and how he got there.
Hi, how's it going, guys? So I think, I don't know if there's any other, I just spoke not so long ago. I don't know if somebody you said to give me a talk.
No, I don't think there's any overlap.
Okay. So, I'm a BCC graduate. I have an associate's degree in computer programming. I learned a lot from Professor Grosser. Igor, is Igor still there?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. And so my name is Francisco Becker. I grew up here in Fall River. I'm originally from Brazil, but I've been living in the States since I was 12. And I grew up in Fall River. I took some time off between high school and college. I didn't even know what I wanted to do. But I was always good with computers. At the time, I had a friend of mine doing some computer programming courses here at CC, and he encouraged me to join, which I did, and I kind of just fell in love with programming. And obviously, I feel like they do a great job of teaching programming here at CC. Not just programming, I think the networking, all the classes I've taken here were awesome. I learned a lot. So when I was about to graduate, there were some people looking for possible interns to join, you know, in their companies, local companies within the area here. And I got a job as an intern in East Providence as I was finishing my degree here. I was working before, but it was a labor job. It was something I wanted to get out of, obviously, and because I was too smart for that. So then I eventually got an internship in East Providence, and I learned a lot there. I was able to then finish my degree here at the same time, and then I kind of moved on to bigger and better things. And now I'm a senior software engineer at Fidelity Investments. I worked in Boston. I worked in the Seaport. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it. I worked right there in the World Trade Center, which is a pretty cool building. We have a nice view. I work mostly on web applications.
Tell them who you work for in there. Fidelity Investments?
Yeah, Fidelity Investments, and I work part of the UX design, user experience department at Fidelity. And as part of my entire career, I just mostly work on web applications. I also have to deal with mobile devices, obviously tablets and phones, making websites work across all those devices. And things are getting even more interesting nowadays with that, because the web browser is now able to tap on a lot of internal functionalities of the phone, so it's kind of an exciting time also for the web development when it comes to the mobile aspect. But as I've been getting more and more experience within my career, I kind of just been stuck now dealing with databases and servers, which I love. It can be a lot of work, but I love what I do, and I have a lot of responsibilities within my department because I work a lot on internal applications. And I also manage a lot of servers and a lot of applications that are not built by myself. So I kind of do DevOps work. I have to make sure the servers are up and running and all that good stuff. But I still all the work that I do is mainly in JavaScript, so I'm a full stack JavaScript engineer. And yeah, that's my go-to language. And I learned a lot of it here at BCC at the time. Professor Grosser was teaching a lot of jQuery, which was at that time was fairly new, right? And I kind of just fell in love with it because it was so easy to use, and that's where I kind of took off. And that's one of the reasons why I like working with JavaScript so much, is because it's so easy to work with. But at the same time, that can become very complicated when you have a lot of code, or you get people from different backgrounds into a JavaScript code base, they get lost. But yeah, that's pretty much my background. But that a lot of JavaScript and obviously a lot of object-oriented JavaScript, which has become like the new biggest thing in the last 5 years, I would say. Everything was very LAMP stack centric, PHP pages being driven by the server, but now everything is mostly done on the client, and that requires a lot of JavaScript code. And that's why I just fell in love with JavaScript when I, as I progress within my profession. And as I said, it's my go-to language. What is this class?
Intro.
Oh,
120.
You know, I skipped this class.
No, I've forgotten that. And it's still a success.
I forgot I had to take it. But yeah, do you guys have any questions?
Oh, come on, somebody must have a question. So what do you use as... Okay, go ahead.
What are some soft skills you encounter in the
field? Oh, as you progress in your career, you have to polish that up. You become better and better with time. But you're going to run into a lot of times where you're going to do a lot of public speaking, because you have to showcase a product working on. Team, you know, leadership, not necessarily because you're managing people, but sometimes you just have to be the leader, amongst other programmers and other, pull the responsibility onto yourself or throw some responsibility onto other people. The social skills presenting, presentational skills, and as you progress in managing skills, obviously, and also project management skills, because most people in the IT field, they have project managers, but they kind of, you really are the one managing your own project at all times, and that when you're in the field, there are many tools that you use to help you manage your project. In the corporate world, Jira. So I've been into other businesses that use Jira, and Jira is cool because it's all like agile methodology, and you have like a Kanban board, which is what they call it. So it's like a board with like four different roles, and then you create your tasks, and then you size them up, and then you just move them across as you progress. So yeah, social skills, leadership skills, management skills, project management skills, and also learning how to deal with tough people, because when you're like in the programming world, you run into a lot of people who they usually don't have social skills, or sometimes you're young and then you're working with other young people, and then you gotta deal with inexperienced people, basically. And when you start off, you're inexperienced yourself as well, so you have to kind of just take everything in and learn as you go, but also try to be as professional as possible at all times.
Talk a little bit about support. If you run into problems, then how that has progressed.
Yeah, you have to ask for help, one thing that I've learned is that I'm at a good point right now. I'm pretty knowledgeable. But in the beginning, especially once you first start a new world, you kind of have to make sure you have a big brother there watching over you. That's always helpful. And some businesses do that. They have like a buddy program is what they call it. And so someone will, you know, assist you with any questions that you might have and point you in the right direction. But if you encounter, if you join a company that doesn't really help you out or give you a lot of support, then you kind of have to ask and make sure that you also communicate that to management, because you have to kind of know what you're doing, or, you know, you need some sort of direction, or else it's just going to be bad for business. And luckily, I mean, throughout my career, I've always had helpful people along the way, and obviously also as you start off in your, if you're looking to be a programmer, and as you start off in your career, you probably want people to, you know, every now and then code review your code, so they'll come in and they'll code review, they'll take a quick look at your code, and they'll be able to tell you, you know, where you need improvement, if you're leaving enough comments, and how messy your code is, and because you'd be surprised, people go years in their career without proper code reviews, and then you're like, oh, A equals B, and then minus C, you're like, what the hell is going on here? So you see a lot of stuff like that happen. So because, you know, you want to write maintainable code. You don't want it to be, because code is written so humans can read it, you know? It's when you execute that the machine actually does something with it. But when you're just characters on the screen, that's human readable code, right? So you have to write it. You always have to think about, like, who am I writing this for? If you're just writing it for you, then that's even more important, because you might let that code go for about 6 months or so and then revisit, and then you're like, what the hell was I thinking here? You know? So always think, even if you don't care so much about the next guy, like, think about yourself, because you might revisit that code eventually, and that's where I think like code reviews are very important. Some businesses, some companies are more strict about that than others. Some companies are like, they have code reviews every Friday, let's say, and everybody gets into everybody's code, and then everybody does a peer code review. But some companies don't really do that. But if I'm in the early stage of my career, I would have someone, until you reach like a good 5-year mark, or even 4-year mark, I would have someone constantly on code review, if you have that assistance, if you have a senior above you or around that will assist you with that, because that's very helpful. Because that will break you out of a lot of bad habits.
So if you're writing JavaScript, how do you start out? What do you use?
With JavaScript? I would say, you know, I think you mostly start off with jQuery, just doing some DOM manipulation. That's mm-hmm. always cool. And I think you need to have a grasp in that before you can move on to other things. But jQuery, at the same time, jQuery is very simple. But I would start off learning some design patterns. Like, it's very important to understand what a closure is in JavaScript and what the module pattern is. I write things mostly, when it comes to JavaScript, mostly on module patterns. And that's how Node does everything, too. Everything's a module in Node. So if you have a good grasp of that, then you have a good solid base and foundation, and then you have to start by learning a framework like either Backbone or Angular, and then eventually Node if you really like JavaScript and you want to do server-side JavaScript or any low-level JavaScript. Like low-level, I mean, like we'll get in your file system and read files, and or even, you know, connect to a database, and so Node is very good for that, and you can write, you're just going to write JavaScript doing that, because there is no DOM manipulation when you're writing Node, because you're not in a wet brown room, right? You're going to notice this encapsulated JavaScript environment, and it's very cool stuff. And that requires a better knowledge of JavaScript in a sense, because it's very module and object oriented in a sense. But I would start off with that, maybe jQuery, and then obviously eventually a JavaScript framework, and then Node. But you can do Node in the beginning as well, because it's very easy to write simple code and log it and see the output. It's cool stuff. And if you're doing some sort of analysis, like you're going to analyze files and directory structures, things of that nature, no one is very good.
Any other questions?
But also, if you have time, if you really want to like get into some good JavaScript, object-oriented JavaScript, I would move on strictly into TypeScript. And especially if you're in the beginning, because then that will already get you in the right proper state of the current web development world, where everybody's trying to move on to TypeScript, which will eventually, I think, overshadow JavaScript someday. And it's very cool. It's still JavaScript, but it adds some typing to it, and it makes it like it gives you classes and all that. So there's a little bit more structure to it, because JavaScript is very loosely typed, and it's like kind of up to you how to write it, you know, if you don't have like a good understanding of the different object-oriented designs behind JavaScript, it can get a little tricky. So TypeScript is very, if you're learning now, advice to get into TypeScript and Angular too. Angular 5 now. They're just calling it Angular now. They don't call it. Because they're doing releases. Do like every 6 months a new release. So next year will be like Angular 7, you know?
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you. So get to work.
As I said, what we're doing is trying that database that I did Tuesday. I'm not sick on Thursday, and I said we could work on it then. But since I was upset, we will work on it now. And the next class of the Google, of course, is okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, you'll have to work on that
too. Yeah, I'm working on it. I'm going to ask you, are you still?
Oh. I will return it. That was the night we were talking about this morning, I gotta get back.
Because, maybe you want.
This, all right, right there, right there.
Questions?
So.
Okay, questions? This is the example that I gave you, and just make sure that you set up the four tables in the homework assignment. So bring up access and start setting up, actually it's three tables, I guess. Tomorrow I'm going to write your finals, so Thursday I will talk about what's on the final and all that good stuff. Okay, so these are the three tables you're setting up. The donation, the donor, and the drive. And remember, the donation table has a three-part key. So you have to highlight all three of those and hit the key button to get yourself the three-part key. Okay, so the key symbol should be next to all three of those. And he knows that that means it's a three-part key because you're only allowed to have one primary key. But the one primary key can be made up of multiple fields. So you're doing this so that you can ask questions.
Close quote on that, right? Then you need to concatenate before the mailing envelope.
Oh.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, always.
They all was out.
Yeah.
Very rarely do I make a really intelligent part of the state.
I have the same problem.
Yeah, it's what killed me, is I moved to the college.
Yeah.
Go back to it, well, then, yeah.
So is it still a problem?
Yeah.
That's started it.
Yeah.
Okay, so concatenated, I remember concatenated with, is concatenated with that.
Oh, this, no, this is my file.
Very, very good.
Appreciate it, anytime. Thank you.
And yes, debugging juggles, but that's, like, it's good experience.
Yeah.
To debug each other, so if you have problems, look to the person next to you. Access can't be that funny. Access clearly wasn't that funny, isn't that funny? Questions? So now you've got to make one that looks like that. That's your assignment, so you want to go into, you know, access. And you want to make a new database, and the database should have those three tables on it. So again, you're going in, you're making a database, and then you're going to make the donor table with those three fields, this being the primary key. The donation table with those four fields, these three combined to make the primary key. And the drive table with those three fields, and the drive number is the primary key. And when you're setting those up, primary key is you just hit the primary key, and it kind of defaults to doing it for the first field, assuming the first field is going to be the primary key. If you want three things, you have to highlight the three and then hit the primary key. Or actually, when you highlight the three, the first one will take away the primary key that's there, and then the next time you hit it, it will put in the three primary keys. The three parts of the primary key, sorry. Eric is out today, but I will be around. So if you want help, I'm around with it too.